B-Pod Studios.
The morning show that loves looking at your summer vacation pics. The MRL Show on Kiss 95.1.
Let's see if you guys have your brains in gear yet. 60% of people do this when they go to bed. What is that?
I was going to say snore.
Not snore. That is incorrect. I'll tell you the answer here in a second.
This is Rob in Charlotte. Hey, Rob.
Hey, good morning. I'm going to say 60% of people probably sleep naked.
Sleep naked. That's incorrect, but you know what? I see study after study that says it is the best thing to do for your body is to sleep naked.
I sleep in the nude.
It is.
So do I.
Yeah.
You guys do?
Yeah, we take it all off.
Rob, do you sleep in the nude?
Let me tell you, I probably about 8 days out of the week I do.
8 days.
8 days out of the week.
See, my math is right. Okay,
that does.
Aren't you nervous if something happens in the middle of the night?
What
are you going to do? Get dressed?
The only thing I think.
I lived on campus, you know, at UNC Charlotte when I went there. And when we would have fire drills in the middle of the night or somebody set the alarm. And if I was sleeping naked, guess what? If you end up outside naked, you end up outside naked. It is what it is.
That's kind of how
somebody else has a problem with it, that's on them.
See, I leave pair of pants and a top right next to my bed in case I gotta like cash cries and I gotta run upstairs real quick.
I can't imagine a world where I literally would not have enough time to get dressed.
Really?
I can't really imagine that. Like, if there's a fire in another unit, I think I'll have enough time to throw something on.
What if an axe murderer comes in? You think he's going to be like, hey, I'll let you get dressed?
Well, just go ahead and murder me.
Yeah. What if it's in your unit?
Well, then maybe, but that's not going to happen. But the other thing
what if
about,
the guy who wants to murder you tells you to get dressed, and you're like, I can't find anything, and then he gets annoyed and just leaves?
That's how it works. I'm more worried about if I die and someone, you know, it's like my family has to come find me, and I'm like
naked.
In the nude. Yeah, I don't want that at all. This is Brad in Union. Welcome to the MRL Morning Show.
Good morning. I was going to say 60% of the people foot cuddle.
Ooh,
while they're in bed.
Foot cuddling. I love to foot cuddle. My husband hates it. My feet are always freezing.
Yeah, I don't mind foot cuddling. You know what I do? I do a weird move, Brad. I put my hand underneath my wife's leg. Like, I like to spread out and sleep on my belly. So I'll put my hand, like, underneath her thigh. And I like that cuddling. All right, you're all wrong. Roy, do you want to take a guess?
Does it put lotion on?
It is not. Nearly 60% of people sleep with their bedroom door open.
What's wrong with those people?
According to a recent survey,
I do that just to be able to see my kids' room.
Well, I don't want them peering in. I'd be an awful parent.
But it's a safety factor.
Yeah, I see.
We leave our door open, morning. I think.
Thanks, Brad. Have a good morning.
I mean, not all
you
the way
kids.
Open, but like halfway.
I would love to leave my door open. Growing up, I wanted my door open. And all my friends are like, no, man, door closed. If anything happens, you want to be safe in your room. And I'm like, no, if anything happens, I want to be able to get out.
Yeah.
I'm a closer.
What about you, Aaron, our digital producer? Door open or door closed at your parents' house where you live?
Thanks. Yeah, no, it's good.
It's all right. You got a girlfriend
that's
already.
That's a cool move. I do open.
Yeah.
You
do
open?
Yeah, I do.
See, I don't want to hear anything that's going on outside my bedroom. I don't want to hear, you know what I mean? Like, I want everything to be closed and secured. And, you know, for the longest time, I used to lock my bedroom door even when I lived by myself.
That is really weird. You'd lock the main door
and then lock my bedroom door.
Dude, that's like a panic room.
Yeah, I know. But it's just like I always did that growing up as a kid, locking my bedroom door.
Just force of habit.
Force of habit.
So a recent study says that 60% of people sleep with their bedroom door open. That simple choice could mean life or death in the event of a house fire, as a closed door can slow the spread of flames, reduce toxic smoke, and improve oxygen levels.
Hmm.
Did you know that, Roy?
That's why I was doing it.
Did you know the average time to escape a home fire has gone from 17 minutes to 3 minutes? In less than
fires like doubles like within
decades.
Yeah, it doubles within seconds or something crazy like that. But I would like to think, unless it happened in my own unit, I would have more than enough time to respond in another apartment if there's a fire in another apartment.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm big on sleeping with the door open. I want to be able to hear things.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't.
I want to be alert.
Look,
to what's going on.
If someone breaks in, don't wake me up. Just take it while I'm sleeping.
Well, doesn't Callie sleep with you?
Yo, well, she
does,
tries.
Does she ever try and get out
of
the bedroom?
No, it's bedtime. She wants to sleep. She wants to sleep.
Because when I had my girl, Kasia, she would always try and get out. Then that was a whole thing. I would hear her ramming the door with her head. Like, and then she would come over by me and she would go...
Maybe that's why we sleep with the door open. Maybe that's the habit that we had when we had Woofer.
Yeah.
The Woofer would get out.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you sleep with your door open, you're one of those 60%. You're the good guys.
Want more of the Manny, Roy, and Loren Morning Show? Listen to the show's daily podcast on the Kiss 95.1 app or Amazon Alexa.
I was at the grocery store yesterday, and I'm walking, and this woman, like, walks past me, and she stops, and she goes, I have to ask you something, and I'm almost embarrassed to do so. And I start getting a smile. I'm like, yeah, I'm Manny. And she goes, I belong to a church. And she's like, this is so embarrassing. And the pastor gave me enough money for the kitchen, but he didn't give me enough money for all the groceries. And she said the church, and it's a pretty big church. And then she said the pastor's name, but I wasn't familiar with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and she goes, so it's for the church kitchen, but I don't have the money to finish buying all these groceries. He just gave me the certain amount.
Okay.
Would you help me in any way? You know, just a couple dollars. And I was like, if I were you, I would call pastor and tell him, because I know these churches, and I know that church in particular. This is what I said. That's a pretty well-funded church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would think the pastor would give you money. She turns to me and goes, well, then just forget it.
Whoa.
God.
And Dean goes, Dad, why was she mad?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Dean, she was asking for money, and I think for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
So I walked back over to the deli counter, and I saw Amanda, and I said, Amanda, this is what happened. And I look over, and she's got some tall guy. She's in his ear now. And so she walks away, and I kind of watched, and he didn't give her money either.
Uh-huh.
I walked over to him, and I said, did she just hit you up for money? He goes, yeah. He goes, I'm going to find a manager.
Was it the same? Was she giving the same story to him?
I said, the church? He said, yes.
Okay.
And so then we found a manager, or he did. And then as we were checking out, I went up to the manager as we were checking out. And I was like, hey, just so you know, he wasn't the only one. Mm-hmm. I also got asked. And she goes, yes, we're aware. We're trying to get her now. We're on the headset looking for her. We're going to get her out of here.
Hmm.
And then Amanda goes, at the end of it all, what if she wasn't lying?
Yeah.
Oh, and you're going to get her kicked out.
And
do you remember, like, what the difference was that she was asking for?
She didn't ask for the difference. She didn't say, I need this amount to finish.
Okay.
She just said, he didn't give me enough money for all the groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, the church you're claiming that you belong. I didn't say claiming, because I didn't want to make it like I was accusing her of lying. I said, well, the church that you're talking about, I know is pretty wealthy. Why wouldn't you just call pastor and tell him, hey, you need more money? She goes, well, just forget it. And I made it sound a lot meaner than it was. She goes, well, then just forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it.
Did she have a buggy filled with groceries?
Not filled, but she had a buggy of groceries.
Did you see, like, what kind of things were in there?
Like, eggs were in there. Bread was in there. And some other, like, condiments. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I saw ketchup. But I didn't really, because, yeah, I was thinking about that, too. I was like, you know, if she's got tons of beer and wine, it's, I mean, it's not going to that. It could go to the Catholic church, but it's not going to the church, she said.
Yeah, right. I just think, like, if you're, and I'm not saying she wasn't, because those are things that you would find, you know, condiments and that kind of stuff. But I would think, like, paper plates, paper towels, like, that kind of stuff would also be being purchased.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing that. But what would you guys have done?
I mean, honestly, I don't know.
Would you have easily given up the money?
I would have.
I probably would have given her something if I had cash on me.
Yeah, if I had cash on me. Because that's one hell of a lie. Like, if she's lying, like, she's going. Like, that's
the not church ain't going to help you.
Yeah. Hey, Brad.
She got me at the Harris Teeter one time, and I gave her $20.
Oh.
And she turned around and walked out, left the groceries in the cart.
Oh, my gosh. So it is a thing.
And then she got me again. She came up to me again just last week. And I said, no. You got me once. You're not going to get me again.
Yeah, that's interesting, Brad. I thought she was a fan of the show. I was like, she goes, hey, I'm embarrassed to ask you. I was like, yeah. You know, that's Dean. I'm Manny. Thanks for listening.
Want an autograph,
sweet
pea?
I wish it was
come
that.
On.
Thanks, Brad.
I know which one this is.
Mike in Lake Wiley, what's up, dude?
A lot of times people will stage those buggies, too. You did the right thing, because more likely she was just putting good stuff in the buggy, and then they'll either ditch it or usually they don't put it back anyway. They just leave stuff, but
Man, that's
you probably
sad.
Did the right thing. So yeah, they'll stage stuff. I've seen it all, man. Been in it 25 years. So.
Man, that thanks, sucks. Mike. That this is fake.
That hurts my heart.
First time it's happened to me, and I go to the Teeter a lot. Like yeah. I do a lot of the shopping during the afternoon when Amanda's at work and stuff. And
yeah. You know where they hit up a lot too is like when you go into like baby stores and stuff. I've gotten hit there before in the parking lot.
Want more of the Manny, Roy, and Loren Morning Show? Listen to the show's daily podcast on the Kiss 95.1 app or Amazon Alexa.
We were kind of curious about this ancestry DNA, especially because Loren and Nicole, they seem to already know their origins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm something. I don't know what, but I...
You're a lot.
I'm a lot, yeah. But, you know, Nicole, you were a Native American.
You've
been brought up Native American. That was your family culture. And Loren thinks that she is Italian, which your maiden name is Marola, so it kind of sounds...
Right.
Sounds right.
So I knew that I had Irish heritage, and my father said Austrian as well.
Austrian, okay.
Austrian, not to be confused with Australian.
Right. Don't think anybody
Thanks for
was.
Clearing that up.
You would, I think you would not survive in Australia. Right. You're too pale.
Well, I mean, do you guys want to start?
Yeah, let's.
Because, I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, I do have Australian in me.
Do you really?
How funny
really?
Is that? I had to tell my mom and dad, absolutely.
Like what percent, though?
Very small. Okay. 2%.
Yeah.
2%. But my dad made a joke that we were, so I'm 79% Irish and Scottish, 15% British and Austrian, 2% German, 2% Australian.
You're 79% something?
I'm 79% Irish.
That's a lot.
That oh, means, I have something over that.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That means that my St. Paddy's Day, now you know why it's not a joke to me. I take it very serious. Start drinking immediately. Anyway, I just thought my surprise was that we are, I do have 2% Australian, and it shows you on the map where we started, and then... Some of the people went down to Australia, then to the U.S., some of my family, which is interesting.
You guys had like a vacation that
was a potato fun. Famine in Ireland. We went down there. So I'll take the didgeridoo home if you don't mind, buddy, so I can start getting my roots.
For me, I am 80% England, Wales, and Northwestern Europe.
Wow.
80%.
You're so, like a Stark.
It looks like Paris... To England in that whole area. Huh. It's like we were going back and forth between the two. Let's see. I'm 15% Irish and Scottish, 3% German. I'm 1% Philippines, which I thought
that's
was,
cool.
Which I thought was interesting.
Oh, you know, the war was a busy time.
That's so funny. So I'm only 40% Italian.
Wow. Let me tell you. I'll tell you why I love that so much. Because, like, when you go there, it's like your people.
I know.
You, like, Lorraine knows the roads in
you
Italy.
You took a class.
I know.
You know.
Maybe that's why I didn't pass it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But no, okay, so I'm 40% Italian, which both of my grandfathers are like... First generation, or my dad was first generation American. So
okay.
Both my grandfathers came over from Italy.
Okay.
But then their spouses are the ones that were like all over the place.
What else you got?
So I have 32% England, Wales, North, West Europe.
Okay.
14% Ireland and Scotland.
Yeah.
You don't have any high numbers?
No, I have no high numbers.
Oh, like you're 40 a mix,
was,
man.
I know. And 40 was the largest number I had. That's why I was so. Shocked that you guys were in like the 80% range.
Yeah. You're truly a hodgepodge of culture.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
More world travel for you to go see your homeland.
German, Turkey.
Wow. You're a little bit of everything.
And French.
Turkey's like Persian.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure like my parents have said somewhere like there's like not like close, but you know, somewhere Native American.
You've told us.
Yes. I think I've told everybody.
You're right.
I'm pretty sure when people have complimented my complexion or my hair or
That's
whatever,
like comeback.
I have
like,
said,
thanks.
Thank you, Native American.
So what percentage are you of Native American?
Zero. 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 Zero.
I thought it was going to be like at least two.
Yes.
No. Zero.
And you said you had a high number of something, too.
Yes, I am 83% England, Wales, and Northwestern Europe.
Wow, well, we're British.
We are British. Then I have, so I'm 83% that, 16% Ireland and Scotland, 1% Mali.
Wow.
So you're surprised that you are not Native American, but also equally as surprised that you're West African by 1%.
Yes.
It's crazy. Yeah, and, like, and I found out, like, I was 1% Lithuania, like, in the Baltic states. Like, yeah. I didn't even know Lithuania existed.
Yeah, so I'm here to tell you guys that I'm taking some time off. I'm going to explore West Africa. Yeah.
Don't just sit at your desk playing Candy Crush. Listen to us, too. Stream the MRL show live or check out the podcast. Wherever I go. Just download the Kiss 95.1 app.
This practice has been going on for 5,000 years, you guys. It's the practice of foot reading in countries like India and China. If you can safely do it, I ask that you remove your sock so your foot is open and we can read it.
Okay.
People in China and India believe that the foot acts as a mirror for the rest of the body.
So is this like palm reading?
It is kind of like palm reading. If there's any lumps, calluses, or pain in the feet, that can indicate problems elsewhere in the body.
Okay.
What you doing, bud?
Roy's trying to take his shoe off. This is the whole thing.
It's the whole thing.
You're right.
Oh, smells so bad.
Here's...
And mind you, 2 minutes ago, he just said, well, I have pretty nice feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
By looking at your feet, you can see if you are a wild and adventurous person or a desire or you have stability or you have harmony in your life.
Okay.
So if your big toe is much longer than the other toes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's not.
Mm-mm. Okay. What does that mean?
Mine is. Wow. My big toe is the longest toe on my foot.
It is?
I have a staircase foot.
Okay.
Like,
must be nice. Perfect.
Well, maybe not, Roy. If the big toe is longer than the other toes, you are smart and creative. You always have a clever solution to quick problems.
Wow. Isn't that like,
that's
hits
true.
You on the head.
No
that's
kidding.
True.
I took Dean and he had to go to the bathroom. So we pulled over into what I thought was the woods. It turns out it was like a Montessori school. It's like private. And so I opened the door and Dean peed like in the gravel parking lot area. And as soon as I closed the door, this woman comes in. She goes, oh, are you guys parents here? I was like, no, just adjusting my son's car seat. And Amanda's like, oh, good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I was like that.
Wow.
So
that's
if you're
scary,
big,
you come up with things that quickly.
Well, it's because of my big toe, Loren. The big toe says that if the big toe on your foot is the biggest toe, the longest toe, you also have trouble focusing and seeing projects through.
That's true.
That is so me. All right, now if the second toe is the longest toe, let me hear you holler.
Hey, yeah.
So my toe and my second toe are kind of even.
Thanks for hollering, buddy. Well, hold on. Since Roy's is the second, let's use yours as the third, because that's on here, too.
Oh, okay. Just didn't know if that was an option.
The second...
If I had to pick between the two.
If your second toe is the longest, you're a qualitative leader. Okay. You're dynamic. You're creative. You could be bossy.
Yeah, podcast captain.
And you are sometimes bossy.
A little bit. Only when I'm upset.
However, people with a smaller second toe are not a pushover, but it does mean that you desire harmony. People that have a longer big toe... have the upper hand in friendship and marriage, and sometimes dominate the relationship.
That's probably me. Things typically go a lot of my way.
You think you dominate over Sterling? Because I feel like Sterling...
Because Sterling would like want to go do something, and I'm like, I need to go nap. And then we go nap, you know. So, yeah, I think I probably
okay.
dominate. Yeah.
Loren, the third toe. If your third toe is relatively long, it means you are one of those people that are energetic... And you're ingenious, particularly at work.
What is ingenious?
My third toe isn't long.
What is it? Ingenious?
You said it's as long as your second toe.
No. I said like my big toe and my second toe are kind of even, and then the rest go down.
All right. Well, if your third toe is long, these people look for perfection and can achieve much with determination and energy. The negative things? Listen to this. See, this is why I think this is you with your third toe being the longest. The negative thing for someone whose third toe is the longest is holding a grudge.
Oh, that's so you. It's so you.
Nicole, what about you? I know you don't want to take your feet off.
Playing.
You hate feet. Why do you hate feet so much?
I don't know. I think they're gross. I've always thought they're gross. I always wear socks. I've been dating my girlfriend for 3 years. She doesn't understand why I won't touch her feet. And I'm like, you've known this for 3 years. Nothing's going to change.
You've never rubbed her feet?
No.
Kiss her feet?
No.
I'm with you, Nicole, because no. I don't like feet so much. So even when I was pregnant, I wouldn't let Dallas rub my feet.
I think it's gross. Even if Lauren wanted to rub my feet, I'd be like, get away from me.
Even your foot. You don't want anybody to touch your foot. Get you don't want to touch anybody else's foot.
I agree.
Foot.
No. Mm.
I got a couple of veins in my feet. What does that mean?
Do you have a wide foot or a long, narrow foot? I forget.
Everything on me is pretty wide.
All right. Well, that's, listen.
I've got a wide foot.
You have a wide foot?
Yeah.
All right. People with wide feet have solid work feet and are always on the go. They're happiest when they're busy and traveling. This is so right.
It is so right.
The morning show that loves looking at your summer vacation pics. The MRL Show on Kiss 95.1.
Why'd you chase a car down on the highway? We just found out.
I did. Not only did I pull up to this person's truck.
Whoa.
And flag them down multiple times, but I did make them pull over.
Loren, listen, what happened?
I don't mean like a small little bolt. I mean like an industrial size, like building or truck size bolt fell off of a truck and into my windshield.
So you flagged this, you chased this guy down?
Let me tell you, my husband's on the phone with me, screaming at me not to flag this guy down and pull him
over.
He's like, he's a trucker, he probably has a gun in the car, you know, he's going to want to protect himself. I'm like, protect himself against what? Like, I'm not
an angry Italian?
Well, that's why you have insurance.
I know, but my deductible is not. I would just pay out of pocket for
it's
the windshield.
True. The windshield deductible is a win for the insurance company every time.
Right.
Oh,
so yeah. Then my insurance premium goes up. You know,
okay.
I don't want to pay that, so I flagged the guy down.
So the to replace the windshield is like $250, and your deductible is like $260.
Yeah. So I literally flagged this guy down, and at first he's like thinking I'm telling him his like gas cap is open or something.
Waving back.
Yeah. Yeah. Waving back.
Yeah.
Honking the horn.
Yeah.
Thanks for appreciating the truckers in America, ma'am. That's right.
Yeah. I'm like, no, sir.
She must be a big fan of RWS Trucking.
That's right. Just taking these prosthetic limbs to the children's hospital. What can I do for you?
No, it was like a hauler truck. It was like a...
It's something really
kind. Every minute counts for me. Thanks a lot, man, for letting me through. Can't pull over. Got these hearts for children that is heading over to St. Jude.
It was not. It was like a hauler truck, like when you take away stuff.
That's not funny, though. The funnier thing is that the guy can't pull over because of you. All right, now.
So what happens when you get him to pull over and you approach him?
We have our windows down on the highway, and I'm like, hey, something fell off your truck. I need you to pull off the road.
Are you on, like, 485 or 77?
77.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
Gosh, you're nuts.
I'm slowing traffic down behind us.
He's nuts. You're nuts. Nuts and bolts.
My gosh.
So Donald finally pulls over.
Donald.
We're on a first name basis now. And I get out of my truck, and I'm like, hey, I know... This happens. I know it happens. I just want to get it taken care of. Like, you know, a bolt fell off of your truck. And he's like, well, are you sure it was a bolt and not a rock? Like, maybe I just kicked it up. And I'm like, no, it's still on my car. Like, it was that big that it hit my windshield, fell onto my hood, and didn't move. Yes. So I took
How big was it? Like the palm of your hand?
I would say the size of my index finger.
Whoa.
Like that large. So I took a picture of it on the hood of my car and then gave him the bolt like, hey, you know, see if this is missing off your truck.
He's
somewhere.
Like, I don't need it back.
Yeah.
This is evidence.
Yeah, I'll take it. Throw it in the back of the truck.
In the woods. Yeah. Oh, where's that bolt now, missing?
So anyway, Donald's really nice. He gave me the number of his boss. I spoke to his boss on the phone.
What?
Yeah. I am very assertive when I need to be.
I'll say.
So,
this is crazy.
Where did the bolt come off of Donald's truck?
I don't know. Okay?
Do we know if Donald made his destination?
I don't know if the axle fell off of his wheels. Like, I have no idea, but the bolt was huge.
I mean, it's like building furniture, and then you have extra pieces, and you're like, should I put anybody in this thing? I mean, there's extra pieces. Doesn't seem safe to me.
It didn't. And the original, like, spider crack was about the size of my hand, and it's doubled since then. So, Donald's boss is supposed to call me today to set up an appointment to get the window fixed.
He's going
to
pay for it?
Yeah. Oh. It's his truck. Like, I can go through his insurance if not.
They have insurance,
so it's better.
I'm sure.
You know what I would have done? Not pulled over.
Of course not.
I'm like, this lady is crazy. Yeah. It happens all the time. Do what any other person does and go get your dang windshield fixed.
Breaker 1-9, we got a loony bin and a white Jeep who's trying to pull me over.
She keeps holding up a bolt for some damn reason.
I talked Donald into giving me everything, too. Like, I have all the insurance information in case the business owner doesn't pay for it. Like, I can still go through the insurance. That's the beauty of it.
Oh, hold on. Donald just texted.
Okay. What did he say?
Tell her she's nuts. There's no way I'm paying for it.
Yeah.
That's all right, Donald. I already spoke to your boss.
I'm taking this crazy woman to court. Prove it's my
You're
bolt.
You're crazy.
Prove it's my bolt.
Well, good for you, Lorraine. We're glad you're shit. We're glad you're safe after all that. Pulling over a trucker, very, very dangerous. Roy and I know you don't mess with truckers.
You don't mess with Lorraine either.
That's true.
From Rock Hill to Mooresville, the MRL Show is on Kiss 95.1.
We are talking about family history. Roy read an article that was actually pretty interesting.
Some people didn't know the name of their great-grandparents.
I feel terrible because I don't know my dad's parents' names off the top of my head.
And the only thing I know about my family history is that supposedly, like, my dad's side, we're Austrian.
Supposedly.
Not Australian, mate, but Austrian.
Yeah, I don't know my roots at all.
We need to, Nicole, reach out to Ancestry.com and see if we can't get, we'll pay for them, obviously, but see if they can send us some kits. And then we should do this on the air.
We should figure out, because I want to know if producer Nicole says that she's Native American. I would love to see if that's true, and I would love to see if Miss Lauren Marola over here is actually Italian.
Could you imagine if like Nicole and I found out that we weren't what we thought we were our entire lives?
Lauren's Polish.
Yeah.
You know, nothing no, close to
I mean,
yeah,
I don't,
Nicole's Hawaiian.
We're definitely other things, you know, as well as Italian, but like my maiden name, I mean, for goodness sake, I found like our family's glove company and everything in Italy.
Your family made gloves?
Yeah. Didn't I tell you? Dallas got me like a really sweet Valentine's Day gift this year.
I didn't mean it like that. I just meant it surprisingly.
Like, did they make driving gloves?
Did the business drop after Michael Jackson passed away?
They closed it like 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's right around the time Michael Jackson died. Now they made Michael Jackson's gloves, didn't they?
They were famous for making like opera gloves for like celebrities and stuff.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Do you have that in you?
What do you mean?
Do you know how to, like, is it built into your DNA that, like, you should be able to make a glove?
No. Lorraine's going to pick up the family business.
We're going to go up to, like, Beach Mountain and get trapped, and Lorraine's going to make us gloves out of, like, cardboard. It's just in her DNA. She knows how to do it. Intern Sydney says she's got a good story. We'll talk to her here in a second.
All
but
right,
first,
let's bring in Anonymous from Lancaster. Hey, Anonymous.
Hey.
Hi. So what'd you find out about your family?
Well, it's actually my husband's family. He found out that his, like, four great-grandparents were German royalty.
Whoa. German royalty.
Yeah. It was like when the fall of the German czars and all that stuff, whenever all that happened, they were part of that.
Yeah, see, I want to know that about my history because I would carry myself in a much different way if I knew that my family was like Austrian, you know,
royalty.
Noble.
Yeah, you'd be a snob around here. For like 2 weeks, we'd be here like everyone bow down to
right.
me.
Yeah.
Like, Lorraine, when's that family get, your family getting me gloves anytime soon? Thanks, Anonymous.
Hey, don't make fun of my family's business.
What if we find out she's not even like Marola? Like, she has no connection to this glove. Because, you know, like, when a lot of people came here, they changed their names.
That's true.
So, like, what if she was like German, Murloc? But then for fun, they thought Marola would sound better. And now she thinks she's connected to some glove company.
And she's really not. You don't.
Yeah.
We are going to try and get Ancestry.com to send us some kits, like, ASAP. That's the thing. And if we do that, then we'll take the swab. Like, all we have to do is swab ourselves, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hi, Sid.
Hi.
So, did you ever do the Ancestry thing? Do you just know about your family history?
My mom told me that on her mom's side, we're related to Jesse James the Outlaw.
Jesse James the Outlaw.
Yeah,
that's pretty
cool.
Like
the one that robbed trains and banks and stuff. So.
Not to be confused with the other Jesse James who builds cars and motorcycles and stuff.
Definitely not him, no.
Yeah.
We got the cooler one.
Oh, that's cool.
So, I don't know because I don't trust what my family says. I'm pretty sure they would lie to me.
Yeah.
About where we came from.
Intern intern Jamie was in here telling us that who was it? Your grandmother? Who? Somebody on his side of the family got around, and they don't even know where the tree is.
That's a big
I heard that my my great grandmother, she doesn't know who exactly my grandfather's dad was. We have an idea of who he is, but he looks a lot more like some of his half brothers than, you know, the dad.
Yeah.
So we don't exactly know what our last name should be.
You might have the wrong last name.
Yeah, but like it's not like we're ever gonna change it. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, some people have family trees. Some
you can
people,
hyphenate.
Yeah. Some people have weeds like he has in his family.
Just a cactus bush.
My parents say that I come from Native American. They say that, but I don't know how much I believe them. I remember as a little kid, my dad told me I came from apes. So I went to school because he had hairy arms.
Yeah.
And so I went to school saying I was from an ape because my dad has hairy arms. And then they had to bring counselors in. And,
counselors.
And you don't, in the Bible, you don't in the South say you're from apes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's, like, that's a big
evolution.
Like, I'm sure there was a preacher in the room with my parents.
Almost excommunicated your parents.
Yeah.
Boy.
So I don't know what to believe.
Chewbacca's my long-lost uncle.
Yeah.
Don't just sit at your desk playing Candy Crush. Listen to us, too. Stream the MRL show live or check out the podcast. Wherever I go. Just download the Kiss 95.1 app.
The 60-second chit-chat where the three of us challenge each other to stay on the phone with someone for 60 seconds doing nothing but one thing. Yeah, you could only say one thing. There's no hi, hello. There's no how are you. They answer the phone. You got to get right into it.
And for this episode, we call people and ask, did you win for the Mega Millions?
Hello, Eskimo Salt.
Man, do you win any money with that Mega Millions or?
No, sir. It didn't hell yet.
Oh, it happened. There was one winner in South Carolina. Did you play?
No, I didn't play, sir.
What's the matter? You don't want to win money, or?
Well, I don't know, sir.
You should have played. I mean, it's $1.6 billion. I think the payout is like, I was reading somewhere, $900 million. Then after Uncle Sam gets his cut, you get $500 million. That's some, what would you do with like $500 million? You got a big family, or?
We got it.
Yeah, so you'd have to give them a little cut.
Okay, sir.
My mom and dad, bless their hearts. They've worked hard for me. I'd give them money, you know, for sure. Would you donate any? You sound like a nice enough guy.
We won money?
I don't know. I'm asking you if you won any money in the Mega Millions. I didn't.
Oh. We didn't, sir.
No. Yeah, I know. It sucks. What would you have done if you won?
Okay, sir. If we will be.
Buy a new car. You could buy like a Lamborghini I was reading the other day. You have fast vroom, 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 vroom. You know, kind of cruise around the neighborhood in a Lamborghini and whatnot. Doors open weird on that thing.
$299, sir.
You got to go, or?
Okay, sir. We will.
You got to go, or you still talk? I'd buy you. You know what I would do? If I won, I'd buy your gas station. I'd give you a raise. I like the way you work on the phone and also helping somebody with a gas pump. Hello? Yeah, hello.
Hey, oh, you played your game.
145.
Good for you.
Not bad, right? We called gas stations and asked, did you win? How does our Loren do?
Can I help you?
Did you win last night?
Nope.
No? Why not?
No.
He was not picking up what I was putting down.
That's 12 seconds.
That might be an all-time low.
That might be.
And out of that 12 seconds, I think 6 of the seconds was the phone ringing.
I know.
Yeah, the ring is 2 seconds. Oh, man. Well, no playing there. All right. How about our friend Roy? How does he do calling a gas station and asking, did you win?
He's our champ.
Good morning,
Christian.
Hey, may I help you?
Did you win?
Excuse me?
Did you win?
Did I win what?
Did you win? Look at you playing all coy. The Mega Millions.
I don't know.
You don't know? Did you not play?
I did.
You know, you got to check your ticket once they call out the numbers to check if you won.
Yeah, but I'm on the clock. And who am I speaking to?
A sore loser. That's who you're speaking to.
I'm speaking to a sore loser?
Yeah, I didn't win crap.
Oh, you didn't?
No. I said the numbers were 5, 28, 62, 65, 70, and the Mega Ball number was 5. Let me tell you my numbers.
Okay.
I had 12, 18, 19, 25, 33, 9, 25, 27, oh, 35, God. 36, 44, 18, 2, 13, 17. By the way, if you catch that I won, you let me know. 36, 64, 9. You still with me?
Yeah, I'm trying to be with you.
Good. 5, 29, 34, 54, 59, 3, 15, 23, 45, 61, 62, 21, 9, 16, 31, 53, 70, 24, 13, 14, 20, 34, 52, 14, 23, 29, 37, 47, 64, 17. Woo!
You sounded like an auctioneer there for a second, bud.
I love that. 49, 47, 46. I love that you just listen to my numbers. Like, that's interesting enough to leave someone on the phone.
Listen to mine.
That was a minute 24.
That was good. I think, Manny, I think you took that one, right?
I think I did, Loren. I got a minute 48. Yep. Woo. So, but my guy didn't understand at first. At one point, my guy goes, I won money. And how about him going, how about him working at a gas station where I guess I would think they sell tickets going, they haven't drawn it yet.
Right.
No, bro.
He's still trying to sell the ticket.
From Rock Hill to Mooresville, the MRL show is on Kiss 95.1.
Someone on this show is in a relationship and on Tinder. That person is intern Jamie.
That's right.
Now, intern Jamie, he works a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. He does a lot of the video equipment, and we happened to hear this morning that he was on Tinder, and we were like, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
You have a girlfriend.
So who brings this up in the relationship?
My girlfriend did.
And how did you react?
I was kind of open to it, honestly, when she first brought it up.
Okay, so your girlfriend says, hey, I think we should get on Tinder because she's interested in another guy or another gal, or it doesn't matter?
Girls, yeah. So what happened is my roommate is recently going through a breakup, and we've seen him getting a lot of hookups on Tinder. And me and my girlfriend have both been dating since high school, and we've been 16, or we started dating at 15 and 16, so we never really got to experience that kind of thing.
Oh.
So when we started seeing my roommate doing it, she's like, that looks like fun. You know, we've never been able to do that because we've always had each other. Why don't we do it together?
Whoa.
So instead of going your separate ways.
Oh, you're so mature.
Well, I've also, like, I'm one of the only guys that she's dated. So, like, she's mostly, like, into girls. So, like, she's like, would you like to go?
Really?
Like,
she's mostly so interesting. Yeah. Now, is there a little bit in you that's afraid that she'll leave you for someone else that you guys find on Tinder?
Good question.
I'm not too worried about that. Like, we've talked about that, and we're like, yeah, no, it's always just going to be the two of us, and then whoever else is just going to be kind of the added on plus one.
Insert person here just for the evening.
Yeah.
Not like,
yeah, and
we're not going on dates with this person. It's literally just
we would probably take him out to drinks beforehand or
something.
Well,
I mean, you don't want to be rude.
Yeah.
Look at you, big spender.
You get one beer.
Yeah. What are the rules? Are you allowed to log on? Do you have to be together when you log on to the Tinder account?
So I've let her kind of do the whole thing because she's asked me if I want to download it on my phone and do the swiping. And I said, that's a trap. That is a horrible idea.
Because
all it takes is for one girl to be like, hey, you don't need her anymore. And then she sees that and then it's all over. And it's just a whole big argument and conversation that I don't want to have. So I'm just letting her do it. And how it plays out, it plays out.
Wow. Paula and Charlotte.
Hey.
Hi, Paula. So our intern and his girlfriend are looking on Tinder for a potential third partner. Now, you are the third in a relationship.
I am the third in a relationship, and I kind of just stumbled upon it on accident.
Were you on Tinder?
I was actually on Bumble, but I am on Tinder and Bumble.
Now, on your Tinder profile, do you put that you're looking for a couple?
No, I actually just have like a fairly general profile, not really like looking for anything specific, and you know, it's just very plain. So I was quite surprised when I actually matched with someone who said they were looking for a third. I was like, just newly divorced, and was like, well, F it, you know what, let's do that.
Paula, real quick, what advice do you have for Jamie and his girlfriend who are on Tinder in the same kind of position as you? What should they do with the third?
I would say keep an open mind. Don't be too picky. You'd be surprised on, like, personalities. And, you know, just have fun with it and just be open and honest with your communication. I really liked how he said, you know, she's got control of it, whatever. If that's what works for them, then that's great. As long as there's open communication and honesty.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Cool.
All right. Wow. Thanks, Paula.
I'm way too jealous of a person for this.
Jamie 704 just texted in and said, in the poly community, couples seeking a third is called unicorn hunting.
Oh. Unicorn hunting.
You're hunting for unicorns.
That means you're hunting for something that doesn't exist. Well, that sucks.
Hunting for a while.
Anonymous in Concord, you are in a relationship and on Tinder.
Yes. So I was just listening to Paula's conversation. Ours is a little bit different. A few months ago, fiance was like, hey, I want a girlfriend. And I just kind of jokingly said back, you know, well, I kind of want one too. You get one, I get one. And she was like, yeah. She's like, that's fine. So instead of more or less looking for a third, we each have our own Tinder profiles.
Whoa.
And we both kind of get to have a separate girlfriend. We have a set of rules. You know, we list them out. I have them on the notes. We go over each of the rules on the people with dates. And, you know, it's pretty open. So similar, but not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, you're working towards one goal, Anonymous, and that is to stay off of War of the Roses.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That is exactly the goal.
The drama doesn't end at 10. We're caught up in drama. Listen to the Manny, Roy, and Loren wrap-up podcast for lots of behind-the-scenes fun. After the show on Kiss 95.1.
You have one job, you have another job, but that other job is completely different from your one job.
Yeah, I was talking to a teacher who is a friend of mine who works at for CMS. It's only her second year teaching. She went last year as well, and I said, things haven't gotten better? She goes, no. And she goes, plus I got to miss work. I was like, well, yeah, school's off. She goes, no, my second job. I said, what's that? She sells Harleys. Which she looks... Like, if you could pick which two women rode Harleys in the room, Nicole would be my choice. Ted Nicole's like a Harley rider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She looks like Loren.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, no, right? No leather jacket,
that's
no shared hair.
That's a stereotype.
Yes. Just Harley saying, riders have a stereotype.
I don't even own a leather jacket.
I'm buying you one.
I do have a leather jacket, but you have tattoos, so you should be more on a Harley than me, apparently.
This is BS.
Be proud. It's cool to be a Harley chick.
This is unstable working
conditions. I think it's hilarious that she's a teacher by day and sells Harleys by night. I mean, you have to know about the engines. You got to know about, you know, everything.
Yeah.
You're a Harley showroom salesman.
Horsepower, how much
salesperson.
Miles they get to the gallon.
Well, my second job is a little weird. Me becoming a real estate agent, people are like, that's totally different from radio.
Totally different.
And I'm like,
from
I
radio.
Love houses, though. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
It's like a fun hobby. What's some of the text messages coming in?
Someone said when they first moved here and they were trying to get in their career field, they worked at the beef jerky outlet at night and then the Burkdale Golf Club during the day. And this is hilarious. I was a financial advisor and used to be a burlesque dancer, too.
That is hilarious.
All right, let's talk with Jennifer in Statesville. What's your first job?
My first job is I work at a security company. We monitor, like, alarm systems. And outside of my normal Monday through Friday, 7 to 3, I am after hours EMT, firefighter, and teach fire rescue classes in Surrey Community College.
That's completely different. That is.
That was like eight things, by the way.
I know. That's protecting and then saving lives. I mean, it's all first responding, but I guess. But
that's great.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Which one did you get into first?
I've been with the alarm company for about 15 years. And I've been doing the EMT since about 2011.
Okay. Thank you for what you do as a first responder and to all the first responders out there. Amazing work.
Let's talk with Stacy in Clover. Hey, Stacy.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, so what do you do for a living?
I'm actually a trash man by day, and I work at Hardee's at night.
That's not bad. You work up your appetite, and you eat for free.
There
That's smart, Stacy.
Yeah, listen, when you're at Hardee's, do you get annoyed when they ask you to take out the trash?
Yeah, I do.
You're like, you son of a... I do that all day.
Don't throw the milk in the trash. The poor trashman's got to smell that.
Which one do you like better, Stacy?
Which
one do you like better? Which one do you enjoy?
I actually enjoy both of my jobs very much.
That's awesome. Yeah, is there anything better in life?
No, there really
isn't. Thanks, Stacey. One more. One more call, then we'll get to some text, Loren.
Caitlin in Bessemer City. Hey, Caitlin.
Hi.
Hey, what's your first job?
My first job, I'm a CNA, too, with doing, like, home health.
Okay, home health. Okay, and then your second side job?
I do photography.
That's completely different.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's not as different as the Hardee's thing, but it's like me, radio, and real estate. It's like it's a whole two different careers.
Totally.
It's like when I tell people that I once worked for a police department and then I worked for a radio station, they're like, "That's weird. Why would you change careers?"
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I get asked why, and I'm like, "Well, I like both. Yeah, I'm passionate about both of them.
Yeah.
So hey, why not?"
I think it's cool.
Thanks, Caitlin, in Bessemer City. I think my second passion, if I wasn't doing this, I'd be a landscaper.
You would.
I'd be mowing yards and building ponds in people's backyards and stuff like that.
I think I'd be doing interior design. And that's totally different than radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a couple.
That's very you, though. Like I guess that makes sense to me because it's so you.
but he loves to.
I know.
Maybe he loves to do landscaping.
Totally, it's just completely different. Like you would think that, like we work in radio, so now I'm going to TV.
Right.
Or we work in radio, and now I'm doing a podcast.
Right. Podcast.
Nicole, we got some. Wasn't there somebody in the military that said something? They were like a.
Yes, we got a tweet to our Twitter that said, "I was an active duty U.S. Marine by day and a cocktail waitress by night."
That is awesome.
Thank you for your service on both accounts.
The morning show that loves looking at your summer vacation pics. The MRL Show on Kiss 95.1.
So there's this obituary that's been going viral, and it was an obituary originally in Spillville, which is a very, very small town. It only has like 351 people. Well, I guess now 350 because the guy passed away. But it's been shared by the New York Post, so it's getting all this attention. So evidently this guy, he had cancer, and he passed away from the fight, but he was evidently one of those just, I don't want to say obnoxious, but you're
like, crotchety.
Crotchety, yeah. In fact, that's actually one of the, they use the term crusty codger.
Oh,
but like this crusty codger from Iowa, this is the obituary, died last month after a short battle with cancer. But even that fight was fair game for family laughs. When he died, the cancer died, so technically it was a tie. He was ready to meet his maker, but we're not sure if the maker was ready to meet him. The obituary went to say, if you're wondering if you may have ever met him, you didn't, because you would remember.
Mm.
He's one of those people. For those that did meet him, we apologize. Evidently, Tim.
I have to steal this and use it word for word for my dad.
I literally feel like this is my dad, too.
Yeah.
And he comes from a family of 8 kids. And so he spent his childhood tormenting all of his younger siblings. The obituary went on to say that the veteran tool and die maker who spent his professional life surrounded by a bunch of morons also led a good life and had a peaceful death, but the transition was a B word. And then it reads on to say, Tim leaves behind a hell of a lot of stuff that his family doesn't know what to do with.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That is a funny obituary.
It's like, by the way, what everyone does when they die. You're stuck with all the crap.
Thanks, Dad, for letting us clean out all the crap in your garage. You know, this has my brain thinking, this is a fun game, and we haven't done it in a while, but remember when we tell people their last text is what is on their tombstone?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we should do that, because while Roy was reading, I just looked at mine. Mine's good. So it would say, "Here lies Maney. Thanks all." Thanks all was my last text.
Thanks all.
Thanks all, yeah.
That's pretty good. Mine is, it's not really that good. But
that's what's funny about it. Like, you just have to tell us what it is.
So mine this morning, Cash was awake, so I sent Elena, our au pair, a text message that says, "This kid hates sleep."
Here lies Loren, this kid hates sleep.
Mine says, "Probably because we weren't trying to be morbid, ?
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Here lies Roy, probably because we weren't trying to be morbid.
What's written on your tombstone, producer Nicole?
Mine would be, "Traveling in the future just to travel back in time."
That's deep for a text message.
Yeah, what were you texting?
Who were you texting?
I was texting with Lauren, and she's in Hong Kong. And she was only there for like a day, and they're like 12 hours ahead. So she went 12 hours ahead, and now she's coming back to be 12 hours behind.
Oh, Weirdsville. What about you? Just give us, yell yours out, A.A. Ron. What is it?
It is sent.
It is sent.
Wow.
Here lies A.A. Ron. It is sent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty good. Sarah in Charlotte.
It was. I'm going in.
You're like Sarah. I'm going in.
Thank you.
This is Brett and Boone.
Hey, yeah. So my last text message was, I have food poisoning, been pooping all night. I can't make it in. I'm a kindergarten teacher, and my principal told me to get my you-know-what to school anyways.
So. Oh, dude, dying of poop. That's terrible. Thanks, Brett.
This is Monique. Monique, so tell us, what would be on your tombstone?
It will say, it went well. Lots of free prescriptions.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
Monique.
Oh, that's good.
Lots of free prescriptions.
We're getting some text messages, too. 704 texted in and said, no denying that.
Ooh, here lies Loren. No denying that.
Yep.
That's a pretty good one.
And then here lies Jackie. I know that totally sucks.
These are funny. I love this game.
From Rock Hill to Mooresville, the MRL Show is on Kiss 95.1.
So I embarrassed myself in my apartment complex.
What'd you do?
You know, like when you say things and you ask people, like, if you need help and you hope they don't actually say yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I fell for that. I fell into that trap. I fell into that trap. So I'm at the parking garage, and I see a lady struggling with her groceries in her back truck. She has a lot of them. And I'm, you know, she says, hey, how you doing? I was like, good. Do you need any help? And I said that thinking she'd go, no, I got it.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of instinct for you.
Right. And she said, oh, that'd be great. Yo, I got a broken foot and my hip's been like overcompensating. So it like locks up now.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't be like on my feet more than 20 minutes before I'm like in really bad pain. So I'm helping her with these groceries and I get to like two trips. And my hip starts the back pain thing and locking up, and I can't move. I'm in so much pain.
How many groceries did she have? Like, how many people were you shopping for?
I don't know. She had a bigger apartment than mine.
Maybe so. She's shopping for Thanksgiving.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But maybe. More than two trips?
Yeah, more than two trips. And get the move that she did. She goes, I'll just start putting them up if you want to go back out to the car. I'm like, okay.
All right. That's funny. Or the other thing that would be funny too, Loren, is if you just stand there and I'll load you.
Yeah.
Just loading bag after bag.
Yeah.
So, buddy. So that was nice of you, but now you're in a situation because your foot's hurting and your back's hurting.
Yeah, I have to quit.
But she's depending on you.
And I have to quit my job.
Did you tell her?
I got back on the second back in, I was like, hey, listen, I got a broken foot and it's causing back. I can't do it anymore.
Aww.
I mean, so I can't.
But
I'm so sorry.
But Roy, really, there's only one more trip.
Yeah.
And she goes, and she's like, she was good about it. You know, she's like, oh, that's fine. She's like, I didn't even realize you had a broken foot. Like, really?
You're like, well, I got that big old boot on.
I just thought that was your gait.
Well, no, this is, by the way, how I walk around. It's not.
I mean, you're in a parking deck, so she can't hear that.
Yeah, it's not like I'm not silent. I'm not sneaking up on anyone.
No, he walks around like any picture, any Halloween monster.
That's how I walk.
Igor, a zombie. Yeah, that's how Roy's walking.
That's how I'm. Yeah, walking.
So that's so funny.
I'm
Can
so
I help?
Embarrassed.
Yeah, I would love that. And then you had to quit.
Yeah.
So she had to go back out and get the rest of the packages.
Yeah, I left her trunk wide open. She had to go back out there and
oh, boy.
Get her own groceries.
All right, Loren, let's take a quick poll here. Did Roy do the right thing by helping? Should he have finished the job? Should he have not quit on the job?
See,
you're a tough critic.
I know. And I say you already committed to it. If there was only like one more trip left or two more trips, you're already hurting at that point, so you're not going to do any more
so
damage.
So push through the pain.
Yeah, kind of. She's relying on you.
I need people. I need to rely on people for me.
I should have asked somebody.
Yeah.
Hey, excuse me. Can you help me help her?
Yeah, can you help me unload the stranger's groceries?
And then you just sit there and watch this other person
meanwhile,
work.
She's inside putting groceries up and some random dude shows up in her apartment like, who's this guy?
Roy, I think you did the right thing, bud. You helped
I
out.
Could.
You helped out. You did what you could.
Yeah.
And then you were honest with her. You're like, hey, I'm hurt.
Mm-hmm.
She was
good. So bad, though. Like, what did she do after Roy left? She had to go then recruit somebody else.
I don't know. Well, you know, it's not like she was broken a foot or something.
Exactly.
She just had a lot of groceries. And you say it, and everyone's done it, where you say something hoping no one agrees. Like, oh, yeah, help me out. I bet you'll learn. I'll never be friendly. I'm going to be the one neighbor that just goes to my apartment. Not talking to anyone.
Did he do the right thing, Dawn, by helping and then bailing?
Roy, I'm sorry, honey. You didn't do the right thing.
Oh, no.
You couldn't help. You shouldn't offer.
See, that's kind of how I feel. Like, you were already committed at that point.
I'm sorry, but you got to follow through.
Oh, you know, and I don't know why.
Thanks, Dawn.
Dawn, the moment the words left my mouth, I was like, why did I do that? Why did I say that?
What if you see her again and she doesn't say hi to you?
Yeah.
Hey, Bree.
Don't just sit at your desk playing Candy Crush. Listen to us, too. Stream the MRL show live or check out the podcast. Wherever I go. Just download the Kiss 95.1 app.
We want to hear about your annoying coworker. Who is, you can call in anonymously. Obviously, don't have to tell us where you work or the coworker's name. What annoys you right now about your coworker?
I know we're going to hear from, like, the food stealer.
Well, so The Cut put out an article. The chatty Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
The person who is always talking up everybody, like, oh, did you hear? Did you hear?
The gossiper?
Kind of.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. The loudest person ever.
Also known as Meanie in the hallway.
We can hear you from a mile away.
I know. Amanda says when we go out to dinner and she's like in the bathroom and I'm at the table and she's walking back, she's like, I can hear you from inside the bathroom.
Well, your voice carries and you have such a distinctive voice.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, like if you ever get nails on a chalkboard and how loud it is.
Oh, that's delightful.
That's you, buddy.
That was sweet.
I was just telling somebody the other day, they're like, you know, you don't really have that like deep radio announcer voice. No. I was like, no, I don't. My voice is awful, I feel like.
But you still have very distinctive voices.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all of our voices are very different from each other. I've listened to some shows and I'm like, who the hell's talking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so hard. I don't know who's who.
It's hard to decipher.
Yeah.
I mean, on our show, it's easy. It's either Loren or I doing most of the talking.
Me, you hear occasionally underneath their breath, underneath their voices, you'll hear me, Doug.
That's enough, Roy. So this is the list of the annoying coworkers that you're probably dealing with right now. The mansplainer.
Yeah.
And how do you
shut
up?
My boss does that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
he's a
totally.
Big mansplainer.
Does he ever?
Someone wrote into this, thecut.com and said, how do I shut up a mansplainer? Just continue asserting yourself, they say. Address the bigger picture. You could tell him he should listen to you rather than interject because it's going to be essential to you performing well in your role. Wow. Yeah. That sounds important.
We're getting a couple of text messages. The person who has every conversation on speakerphone so the whole office can hear. And we've got a guy in our office whose office stinks. He hasn't showered in weeks, and it stinks in big letters.
The food police, that's another annoying coworker. What do you got? Text messages.
People said the old lady who's old enough to be your mom but talks about her moving furniture life.
Oh.
And so Harold and I went to the Red Room.
Mom. The stinky microwave person.
Yeah, I know those.
Always microwaving fish.
Ugh.
Yeah. And then the woman who thinks she's hot but has a busted boob job.
Didn't see that one coming.
I'm telling you, some of these are brutal. Those are the good ones that I could read.
Miranda.
Yes?
Hi, welcome to the MRL Morning Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, even though those are mean, Loren and Miranda, at least I'm glad we're giving people an outlet to vent about their annoying coworkers.
I guess.
Yeah, go ahead, Miranda.
Yes, I used to work. I sold dumpsters for a living, so if that's not great enough as it is, and had to work at a landfill, my cubicle was right next to the bathroom. So every person who had to walk by my cubicle to go to the bathroom always felt the need for small talk. And I'm like, I don't like small talk. And the most annoying one was this one. You having fun yet?
No,
I'm not having fun. I sell dumpsters for a living at a landfill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, is anybody having fun here? Like, stop asking me if I'm having fun.
That's so awesome.
It's like the guys who tell you to smile. Like, no, I'm sitting in a cubicle. I don't want to smile. I'm good. Like, stop feeling the need to say things just because we made eye contact.
Yeah.
How long did you last at that job, Miranda?
a couple years.
Ooh.
Believe it or not.
Wow.
It pays good money. Everybody needs to throw away their garbage.
Yeah, that dumpster sales is great. Worked at a landfill.
Yeah.
Hey, Miranda, you watched the game yesterday? You see Cam? He looked pretty good.
Everybody wants to have a conversation while they're just headed to the bathroom.
Okay.
And I just want to work.
Here comes Roy.
Oh, hey, how's it going? I'm not good at small talk.
Small talker up, small talker
okay.
up.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
It's supposed to rain all week.
Thanksgiving's coming, rain, yeah.
What'd you have for breakfast?
Yes, oh my gosh, and it was on the way to the kitchen, too. So then somebody was like, oh, just headed to heat up my food. I'm like,
oh, it's so annoying. I'm so bad at small talk, I don't even engage in it.
But then she might think that Roy's rude. Hold on a second.
Some because people, everybody else does it?
There are some coworkers that probably think I am rude because of that, because I don't...
Right. I'm not real good at small talk either.
Miranda, if Roy came out of the bathroom and didn't small talk you, but everyone else did, would you think there was something wrong with Roy?
You think I'm
no,
wrong?
I would be like, thank baby Jesus for Roy.
Yeah.
get up. All the hits all day. And Rainy, Roy, and Loren in the morning. Kiss 95.1.